it's been the most hotly awaited event of the theatrical season. David Tennant, revered by some for mesmeric performances in TV hits like Doctor Who and Broadchurch, and others for an outstanding Hamlet at the RSC, returns to take on the troubled, contradictory mantle of Richard II. It's a stretching role for any actor, as Richard veers between majesty and misery, a capricious, self-mocking monarch, beset by foes, ambivalent about the crown, yet loath to yield it to his determined rival, Bolingbroke.
Why, cousin, wert thou regent of the world, it were a shame to let this land by lease. Landlord of England, art thou now not king? Thy state of law is bondslave to the law, and thou,
a lunatic, lean-witted fool, presuming on an ague's privilege, dares with thy frozen admonition make pale our cheek, chasing the royal blood with fury from his native residence. Now, by my seat's right, royal majesty, wert thou not brother to great Edward's son? This tongue that runs so roundly in thy head should run thy head from my unreverent shoulders.
Oh, spare me not, my brother Edward's son. That blood already, like the pelican, hast thou tapped out and drunkenly caroused.
David Tennant as Richard II and Nigel Lindsay as Bolingbroke. Susanna Clapp has been Stratford-bound on the Tennant Express. Susanna, the king's the thing. How did David Tennant incorporate this quite complex part?
I thought he did it very well. It's a very interesting play because, of course, it's almost two plays. It's poised between tragedy and history. There's Richard II, which is, I'm talking about the play, Richard II, which is that sort of lyrical, melancholy exploration of a king who doesn't know how to be a king, who's self-reflective, self-destructive, self-vanishing almost. And there's a public dimension. There is, as we saw partly in that extract, the sense of a city, I mean, of a country, specifically England, very much decaying. It has some of the most famous speeches in this England, this sceptred realm, all those. Some speeches which are so familiar as to be almost corny, but they hold up very well, particularly as delivered here. What is interesting to me about this production, which, by the way, has an additional significance, quite beyond David Tennant's, which is that it is Gregory Doran's first Shakespearean production as artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Indeed.
So something hangs on it. What is significant about it is that he makes a panoramic drama of it. He suggests that it has real political urgency, and I was very convinced by that.
I'd just like to stay on David Tennant, if we could, for a moment. I had a sort of feeling that he came into it much better in the second part, which is partly because, you know, by that you've got the sort of idea of what's happening. It's a quite bitty play, in all fairness, quite a lot of loosely stitched together monologues. He plays it with his flightiness. He's very out there, isn't he? The hair extensions, I think they were hair extensions, they're very long flowing locks, a bit like Neil in The Young Ones, some might remark. It's very sexually ambiguous.
Extremely. I thought that hair extensions, which were almost alarming to begin with, was more like Jesus Christ. And it is, of course, particularly striking because he's in a courtroom of bristling baldies, so that he is peculiarly, as you say, androgynous. He starts off, what I think is very good about the performance, is he has this wonderful physicality, he has a mercurial clarity. I don't just mean line by line, but in the actual arc of the part. He starts off sneering, rather sardonic, slightly preening. I have a feeling that part of the performance might come down a little bit as it goes on, which is perhaps what you were indicating.
It comes in at quite a high pitch of flightiness, it would be fair to say.
And then sinks down into melancholy. But then it is such an unexpected king that you need to come in quite a high pitch, because you need to register very clearly what's going on. I think he does that absolutely immediately.
You mentioned there Gregory Doran putting a bit of a contemporary kind of spin on some events. So it was very noticeable when he was talking about the land being leased out. You know,
Wasn't it just
England? And it's funny that everyone got that immediately. Everyone started thinking about public finances.
Exactly. It's one of those moments in Shakespeare when you go back to the text and say, did they just add that for the purposes of the play? Absolutely not. And what is interesting about the sort of acid-stripping, lick-spittle, sycophantic mercenariness which Shakespeare conjures up is that it indeed was always there. But this production, despite his absolute political heft of Doran's production, at the same time, it's actually quite traditional in some ways. I mean, it's in traditional dress. It's got the sort of things that Stratford can do, which other productions, for example, I've seen recently at the Donmar, once saw Fiona Shaw at the National play Richard II, in smaller spaces, more lyrical spaces. This production does something which Stratford can do, which is actually suggest a great big nation going behind what...
Yes, I rather liked. I thought it was a very good point about the traditional dress, but it didn't feel like ye olde Stratfordy Shakespeare-y in the sense that you had this quite metallic and CGI backdrop, very beautiful and very sort of moving at times, but that also rather threatening, this metallic platform that moves up and down, which sort of reminded one a bit of decapitations. And I thought that was actually a very good way of getting that modern and the old world combined on stage.
I agree. It also suggested a sort of negativity, I think, though. I mean, the colours, the greyness of the colours, the feeling that actually here is a king who is sliding out of being a full photograph, a full dimensional icon, into something which is only half there, sort of fading away from life. But I think one of the crucial things, by the way, it's very well spoken. Now, that should need not to be said in the RSC, but that has not always been the case, not just by Tennant. But I think one of the key things that will makes this so successful, which gives it reach, at the playing of two vintage actors, Michael Pennington.
Michael Pennington's John O'Gaunt.
Wonderful,
yes.
John O'Gaunt, who delivers the speech about England with such ease. And also Oliver Davis as the Duke of York. Absolutely extraordinary. He does the thing which great Shakespearean actors do, which he seems to be sort of having a conversation to himself, which almost accidentally strays into...
Marvellous line will come
that's
forth.
That's right, strays into the
very
public
quickly,
realm.
If we could, the play is famously unfinished. It's given a different ending to here from anything that I've seen. I don't think we should give away what that is. Mm. But is that a good way of coming to terms with the end of one of the great uncertainties, really, in Shakespeare's mind about the play?
I thought it worked perfectly well. I don't think it's the high point of the evening, but I thought that the evening as a whole had such robustness that it could take this extra little quirk.
Well, there you are. That's so intriguing that I think we should probably leave it there. Thank you, Susanna Clapp. Richard II, hair extensions and all, is at Stratford now and then at the Barbican Theatre in London from the 9th of December.